1 Corinthians chapter 10, we've been developing types, and we said a type is not a type unless God calls it a type. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 6, now these things, not everything, these things were our examples. The word example, I'm in 1 Corinthians 10:6, the word example is types. To the intent that we should not lust, have strong desires after things that are evil, inappropriate, that which is lacking, that's going to bring calamity, as they also lusted. How did they also lust? They just went right ahead and fulfilled. They didn't deny the lust. They didn't have the provisions we have. They just went ahead and sinned from the lust. Then he says, neither be idolaters as some of them. Not every one of them was an idolater, but some of them were. And as it is written, the people sat down to eat and to drink and rose up to play. That's where we were last week, is that last phrase identifies exactly what idolatry is being spoken of. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed and fell in one day 3,000 and 20,000, which also identifies where that is in the Old Testament. Let's go on. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. That also identifies what these things are, a specific place in the Old Testament where there were serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. That also identifies in the Old Testament where it goes to. So this is what we've been developing over time. And I know I've been taking my time, but that's okay. What I'm going to bring up again is something I mentioned last week, which is really cool, is that you have Paul, as he writes this, he begins to use imperatives and subjunctives. The imperative indicates that they're probably doing this right now. And you would translate it by saying, stop! Stop doing this! The subjunctive is a future anticipation and would be saying, don't even think about it, don't begin to do this. So what you have here is Paul begins to use where he says in verse 7, he says, neither be ye idolaters. What he says there is the imperative. So he's telling them, stop being idolaters, which means we can look in the book of Corinthians, and I'm not going to do all of it, but I'm going to point out a few things. You can look in here and see how were they being idolaters. It's an activity they were probably practicing that Paul's telling them to stop it. So in Corinthians, we would expect some hints at what they were doing in their idolatry. The next thing is, it says in verse 8, neither let us commit fornication. That's a subjunctive. So he changes and he says, and don't even begin to be fornicators. He changed. Then the next thing in verse 9, he says, neither let us tempt Christ as they. That's also a subjunctive and saying, don't even do that. Don't tempt Christ the way, in a similar way, a pattern that they did. Then in verse 10, he goes back to the imperative. And he says in verse 10, neither murmur, but if we use the way we've been doing it, now what is he saying? This is something they were doing. So he says, stop murmuring. So what we have is, stop being idolaters. Don't even think about going into this fornication. Don't even start tempting Christ. And stop murmuring. It's very interesting in this passage. So we were looking at idolatry here, And idolatry specifically is going back. We were in Numbers, and it was in Numbers chapter 11. So let's go back there. We already were looking at some, Exodus 32, not Numbers. Exodus 32. So in Exodus 32, here's a type or a pattern that should not be followed. This is a pattern that you're not to follow. So it says in verse 32, verse 6, "And they rose up early on the next day and offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings, and the people sat down to eat, to drink, and rose up to play." That is what brings us back to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 6. This is what he's talking about. When he's talking about the type or example of idolatry, he goes right to this section. Why? Because he's alluding to this practice that they did. And this word play here we brought out is a sexual perversion. It's all kinds of lasciviousness. It's an orgy type of thing that they did in front of these false gods. Now, the important thing in verse 1, "And when the people saw that Moses delayed," we told you he was delayed. He wasn't coming down. He went up in the mountain and he hadn't come down for a long time. But the root of this word delay is to be ashamed. It's kind of communicating that their mindset is that Moses went up on the mountain to meet with Jehovah and he hasn't come back because he didn't meet with Jehovah, and now he's ashamed to come down and face the people because he told them he was going to meet with Jehovah and come down, and now he's not coming down because there is no Jehovah up there that met with them. So what do? They begin to make gods after their own choosing. So they go to Aaron in verse 1 and make us gods which shall go before us. For as for Moses, the man who brought us up out of the land. So are they attributing the Exodus to God or Moses? Moses. And if you go back, I could spend so much time. If you go back to the beginning of Exodus, in the Exodus, what is the key to all of the judgments and the deliverance of Israel is he's keeping the covenant made with Abraham that he's going to bring them into the land. And Moses went to Pharaoh and said, "Jehovah said, let the people go to worship Jehovah." And what did Pharaoh say? That's the key to Exodus. Pharaoh said, "Who's Jehovah? In all of the gods of Egypt, there's no Jehovah." Jehovah comes from a Hebrew word which means ever-existing living one. Jehovah is a triune God. We know that from the New Testament. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are all identified as Jehovah in Scripture. And God is going to display to Pharaoh and to Israel who Jehovah is. He's the same one who's the I Am, the Son of God, the I Am, who communicated to Moses in the to Abraham, back in Genesis 15, is the same one who met with Moses in the burning bush. And he shows, he knocked every one of the judgments on Egypt, and sometimes they affected Israel, is to knock down the different deities of Egypt and show that Jehovah is a God above all gods. Did they attribute to Jehovah that he brought them out? Were they believing the covenant to Abraham? No. They went back and they said, "Make us gods," and say, "These are the ones." Well, we didn't get to that. So they broke off the earrings and they built the molten calf. And they said at the end of verse 4, "These are thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt." Look at verse 5. So first of all, they called them gods. What is gods? Elohims. What are Elohims? Powerful ones. Gods. By the way, are angels and demons especially, are they called gods? Yes, in the Psalms, and Christ said that. He says to those demons that were coming against his ministry on earth, he says, "Have I not called you gods, but you shall die like men?" And why? Because the word of God cannot be broken. That's an interesting, in the times we're living now, that's a good place to go back. Demons are going to be judged no matter what they try to do. The word of God will not be broken. That word broken means to be unloosed of its binding power. It cannot be broken. So they call them Elohims, gods, powerful ones. Verse 5, "And when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it, and Aaron made proclamation and said, 'Tomorrow is the feast of what?'" So they called them gods, but they called them also what? Jehovah. So what were they doing? They were making gods that they remembered from Egypt, and they were placing them equal to Jehovah. Is that called anything in Scripture? Now, I know a lot of you have been here many, many times. Romans chapter 1. Romans 1:25. And remind me to give you homework, because I'm watching the clock and it's dissipating, and I spend so much time with the other stuff. I wanted to get to the next point, fornication. I'm going to give you some homework. Okay. Oh man, it's going to be homework for a long time, because the first starts next month and we flip-flopped. 1:25. This is a history of the development of the sin nature from Genesis, and it says, verse 24, "Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness, work of the flesh, through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves," homosexuality, "who exchanged the truth of God," and if you haven't changed it yet, "for the lie." This is a lie from Satan. The lie, it's something that he propagates. So the lie, "and worshipped and served." That word "served" means to serve as a priest in a temple. So they worshipped and served as priests in a temple, the creation. Now you have to retranslate this again. Not more than, but alongside of. It's the word para. So they were placing alongside of God the creation alongside the real creator. So here was the creator God, and placing alongside of that creator in equal creation. So here Aaron took their earrings from Egypt, and he made a molten calf, and there in making... We have a visitor and they're checking him out. You can't be too careful. In Charleston, that guy came in, sat in the Sunday school, began to ask questions, and pulled out a gun and shot 9 people. Let's get back to this. Yeah, it's crazy times. So it's placing something alongside of God in equality. What were they doing in their idolatry? They made gods of their own creation and placed them and called them Jehovah. They placed them alongside of. Let's go real quickly to some other passages that I have. First John 5:21. Little born ones, little children, ones who are born of God, ones who are of God the Father's children, keep yourselves from idols. Keep yourself from idols. Let's go a little further in this. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians 8:4. Paul, who writes 1 Corinthians 10, says that God gave them a pattern from Exodus to not have idolatry as they, in a similar way, pattern as they had idolatry. The person's leaving. Everybody can relax. Idolatry. So here in chapter 8 is something interesting that's said here. As touching things offered unto idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffs up, but love edifies, builds up. If any man thinks that he knoweth anything, he knows nothing yet as he ought to know. But if any man loves God, the same is known of God. As concerning, therefore, the eating of those things that are offered in sacrifice unto idols, we know that an idol is what? Nothing. So did the Corinthians have molten calves or idols? No, they knew that those weren't anything. So let's ask ourselves, if Paul warns them in the 10th chapter that God has set this as a pattern not to be idolaters, then idolatry can't just be the worshiping of some kind of molten or created type of thing. There's another aspect to idolatry that Christians can enter into that isn't necessarily a molten image. Turn with me. Does everybody follow what I'm saying so far? Okay, all right. Let's turn to Colossians 3, verse 5. Colossians, Paul, who wrote Corinthians, also wrote the Colossians. He says, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication. So I don't have a member that's called fornication, but I have a member that can fornicate. So uncleanness, passions, inordinate affection, passions, evil desires, and covetousness, which is what? A quality of what? Idolatry. So where you're coveting something and making that your, you can covet something so much that you make it an idol. It's a quality of idolatry. There's different qualities than of idolatry. So if you have anything in your life that you take and covet and place it up alongside of God, making it equal to God, where you're serving that rather than God. What did it say? They worshiped and served the creation alongside of the Creator. They made it equal in their life. So what I'm building a point to is, the Corinthians knew, by the way, it's going to be different than fornication. They knew, let's say this is an idol. They knew, by the way, I guess some people do make the hymnal songs idols. But anyway, they place them above or alongside a god in Scripture. But anyway, the Corinthians knew that a molten image was nothing of itself. They had that knowledge. But yet Paul warns them in the 10th chapter to what? Stop being idolaters. So they were having a quality of idolatry was different than worshiping an image, an idol. Are you following me? And so John tells them in the, let's say, 95 to 98 AD, he tells little children, keep yourself, guard yourself from idols. Paul told the Colossians that what? Anything that you covet so much that you serve it, the creation alongside equal to Jehovah, is a quality of what? Idolatry. So this pattern that was set there is, let's look at some of the pattern. Moses had delayed. They had been brought supernaturally out of Egypt. They anticipated Moses to come down. Their anticipations were not met. And when their anticipations were not met, they began to make gods to serve of their own creation. Let's look at that pattern or type then. If I in my life get distracted where I am, things are not working out the way I thought it should. My anticipation of what should happen is not happening. And as I look at those things and I begin to focus on anything, anything that I covet, anything that I'm coveting and looking into that, where I begin to serve that thing. It could be anything from the world system. It could be my job. It could be anything. And I make that equal to Jehovah, where that is governing the decisions of my life, then that is my idol. Covetousness, which is idolatry. When I place something up alongside of Jehovah God and I'm serving the creation alongside of equal to the Creator, you may still have in your mind, the Corinthians still had in their mind, yeah, Jesus Christ is my Savior. I know He's the head of the body. But they were placing other things up alongside of Jehovah and letting them alongside of Jehovah, not alongside of Jehovah, and serving those things to the point that they were idols. Now, we're going to have to come back to this whenever, next month. Not next month, the month after that. So we got July. August, we'll come back to this. In the meantime, the next thing, and what I'm going to do, we're not finished with the idolatry, but we got to compare this to the next one, which is fornication. By the way, I've done this. I've done a lot of soul searching and looking at this. By the way, this is good advice to us as well. I have to watch and discern my own life where I'm putting, it's subtle. You can all of a sudden begin to put things up alongside of Jehovah, and that's governing your life. You're serving that. Fornication in the next, six or seven. He says, and don't begin to be fornicators as they. That's going to go back to a specific fornication that was at the time of Balaam. Let me give you the passage. This is your homework. Numbers 25, 1 through 9. That fornication is Balaam could not curse Israel, so he told Balak, I think it was the king, he told them, if you want God to curse Israel, then follow this advice. get them to marry your women, fornicate with your women, then your women will influence them with their idolatry. They will then fornicate with the women, take their idols to be their idols, and then God will judge them. That was Balaam's doctrine. You have to also look at Revelation chapter 2, where it discusses this, because you're going to have to look at Revelation 2 to find out what's the difference to being stopped being idolaters in verse 6 and the fornication, physical fornication that leads to spiritual fornication in verse 7. By the way, this will take you a month to study. Okay, are you following me? Verse 6 says, stop being idolaters. So that's something the Corinthians were doing. Don't even begin to be physical fornicators that leads to spiritual fornication, which has idolatry in it, but it's different than the idolatry that was just mentioned. Are we together? Ask you. Okay. Yeah, okay. So your homework is Revelation 2 says that at Pergamos, which means married to the world church, they had some in there who were teaching the doctrine that came from Balaam. The word doctrine there is didache. So what's the difference between idolatry in verse 6 and the physical, which leads to spiritual idolatry in verse 7? 6, 7, and 8. Yeah, thank you. 7 and 8. I'm doing this by memory, and my memory's not good. Okay? It's sometimes good. All right? Everybody understand the assignment? I've had 6 to 8 months to think about this. I'm giving you one. Okay? It's fun to have homework. All right. Father, thank you for this time together. Appreciate these folks. In Christ's name, amen.